This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Honestly, maybe this is just what Shilpa and I needed. Just like, yeah, to feel like the warmth of like validation, you know? Just like people thinking we're interesting.
Listen, Christopher, speak for yourself.
Hey there, listeners, future callers, and cooking enthusiasts. Welcome to Dinner SOS, the show where we help you save dinner or whatever you're cooking. I'm Chris Morocco, food director of Bon Appetit and Epicurious. This week, I got a call from sisters Izzy and Nina.
We are twins. We are good friends. We love to cook together. Nina wanted me to tell you that she's a good cook. And I love to bake. And I feel like I've kind of embarked on a journey where I want to get her to bake and like enjoy baking with me, or like just as much as I do.
But here's the problem. While Nina is a confident cook,
I feel really, really not confident baking. I overthink a lot, which is the opposite of how I cook, which is like very intuitively and with grace, if you will. But nice. When I bake, I get really flustered.
The last baking project that Nina attempted turned out to be a bit of a disaster. She was trying to bake Nigella Lawson's honey pie. When she and Izzy baked it together, it turned out great. But when Nina attempted it again, on her own, she ended up with a melted, shapeless mess.
I read the instruction that said, take the pie shell and put it on a rimmed baking sheet. And I guess what really happened was I didn't know if the pie shell was the pastry itself or if the pie shell was the thing that the pie crust sits in, which now obviously it's the thing that it's the shell for the pie. Like it makes a lot of sense to me now. But at the time I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe I just am supposed to bake it. And so I did put the shell just straight up on a rimmed baking sheet and it did fully melt. And it's just so crazy because I'm like, dude, you would never make a mistake like that cooking.
Yeah, but listen, accidents happen in the kitchen and out. It's fine. We're okay. Moving on. Okay, like no big deal.
Thank you.
As a point of entry into the world of baking, pie's hard. There's a lot of like seemingly contradictory advice, right?
Right. And I think that actually was a thing that happened when we made this pie together, where Izzy made a beautiful, like I did exactly what she did. And she came out with this perfectly textured pie dough. And mine was really hard. But I was like, I kneaded it or whatever for the same amount of time as you. And, you know, I'll bake banana bread and it'll just come out dry, even though I follow the recipe and I'm like watching it. So I'm just like, am I cursed, you know?
We'll have to look into that. Okay, we'll send someone over. All right.
Let's do it.
But in terms of like what we can control today, here's my question. Like, okay, Nina, you don't like baking necessarily. Do you enjoy eating baked goods?
I love baked goods.
Okay.
I love them.
Great. Maybe even more than me.
Really?
No, seriously. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I bake mostly just to do it. And then I feel kind of indifferent about the product. Oh, were you, do you thought I was going to say bake so that you can
for
eat
me.
It? That too.
And what do you enjoy eating in particular?
Well, I love bread. I love like pastries, like breakfast pastries, cardamom bun. Love cake. Love cake. I love baked goods. Like I really do. I'm a huge fan.
Okay. Well, I think as somebody who's a connoisseur of baked goods, what that sets up is you know exactly what you want from what you're eating. And if there's any discrepancy, of course you're going to notice it, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm turning this around. Like, this is what this is what we're doing. Like, we're turning the narrative around, and it's not a question of you being a bad baker. It's just you really know what you like, and you now need to develop the skill set to be able to create those types of baked goods for yourself.
That feels accurate.
And that feels very doable.
That feels so accurate.
Yeah, because I think, like, in the past, we've attempted like a couple things baking, and I feel like I'm always like, this is great. And Nina, you're always like, oh no, this isn't good. It's not good enough.
Yeah.
And that's a tough space to be in, because trying to do that work for yourself, you know, it takes a certain skill. And I think more than anything, it just takes comfort with the process, right? Like, the way you get better is through repetition, right? And practice. Right. And absent that, even mundane things such as putting pie shells on, you know, rimmed baking sheets can suddenly feel like an imposition, because they're making you ask questions of the process,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's so it. And I think the thing that kind of is daunting to me with baking is that it is so many steps. So there's so many points where I can be wondering, you know?
Totally. Multiple points of failure, for sure. Yeah. Listen, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ways to go here. And I think there's specific baked goods that, like, nobody can make better than you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, unless they truly were fried the hour before you walked in the shop. Like, they're not going to be better than, like, the donuts that you make yourself or the cookies that you bake off a few a week from a stash of frozen balls of dough. You know what I mean? Mm. And trust me, like, you want a cardamom bun? Like, we can give you a cardamom bun. You know, we can put you in a cardamom bun today. But don't overlook the joy of, like, a perfectly baked chocolate chip cookie or something, you know?
You're so right.
It's fewer barriers to entry, fewer points of failure, and even if you mess it up a little bit, it's still going to be amazing. Whereas, like, when pie goes sideways, there's usually not much left to save.
Yeah.
Totally.
I always wanted to be a twin. Did you?
I mean, honestly, I would have settled just for having a brother, right?
I have a brother who's like 6 years older to me. So it was,
I would
really
have said you
difference.
Were the older sibling.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
You
no.
Big older sibling energy.
Oh.
Yeah. No.
Great. For sure. I'm glad I'm pretending very well.
Shilpa Oskokovich doesn't have a twin, but she did have some thoughts on how Izzy and Nina could simplify their approach to find baking bliss.
Well, just off the top of my head, I would say two things. One, doing and loving are two different things. I love, like, a laminated pastry, but I would never make it at home, you know?
But have
That's
you?
That's fine.
But have you?
Yeah, I have once.
Were you charmed and delighted by
Absolutely
what you
did? Not.
Right.
It was a disaster. And there's some things that you just can't do, and that's fine. So it's about accepting that you can't do this and just move on. And the second thing to actually bring a solution to the table is to then find a recipe that Nina can make that's fairly straightforward.
So Shilpa and I got to brainstorming recipes that could help Izzy and Nina bake something incredible without getting tripped up on anything too fussy. After the break, we'll present some options for them to create magic at home.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or any time. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.
Welcome back to Dinner SOS. When we got Izzy and Nina back on the line, Shilpa started by explaining that to be savvy home bakers, they should adjust their expectations.
When you're starting off, I never recommend baking something that you have a strong even nostalgic association with, because you'll always be disappointed. Memory is such a powerful thing, and that you can never compete with it. Like when somebody says, oh, you know, I had this chocolate cake growing up, could you make it for me? My immediate answer is no. I will never do that for you, because I will never live up.
Because she wants to see you suffer.
Yeah, that too. but, you know, no cake that I can make is ever going to match that memory that you have in your mind, and that you've made it. It's now so big in your head that nothing is going to come close.
Yeah. I feel like it's a really good strategy. You're right. To think of things that I can't normally get that would feel so special to like bake with my sister and conquer this thing just in the home. And that feels really good.
And that can be as easy as you want it to be. Like, okay, I'm just going to go, Shilpa.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to go. So BA's Best Chocolate Chip Cookies, I do think would be a worthwhile exercise.
Okay.
Because there's a few little key moments in there, just in terms of browning the butter. If that's not something you're comfortable with, well, okay. Like, it certainly has you do it for 2/3 of the butter or so. It's about the value of having a scale. You really got to do it by weight. And if you haven't got a scale, now's the time. So it comes together really easily, and it's a cookie dough that's like pretty forgiving. You can portion it, freeze it, bake it from frozen, and just the pleasure of eating one of those cookies when they're not hot but ever so slightly warm and the chocolate is still molten. Nobody's gonna give that to you in
that
a bakery
so
in New York or LA. Most places they're not even trying.
I have to say, Levan Bakery cookie is warm.
I cannot stand Levan Bakery cookies. The fact that you even bring it up in the studio
is so upsetting
to me. It's like raw balls of dough.
You're just talking about a warm, melty cookie. That's you have one.
Oh, but okay. I can't believe this. Okay. My
anyway,
second.
Make a cookie.
My second.
Yes.
Okay.
Make pavlova.
Whoa.
Make pavlova. All you got to do is make some meringue.
Okay.
If you want to make some lemon curd, you can.
Whoa.
Totally. But you don't have to. All you're doing is you're making a big meringue. That's it.
Okay.
And then you can make some whipped cream. And you're out in California. You have access to such beautiful fruit, such beautiful berries. You know, you can get all kinds of stuff. And this is like more of like a, you know, you were talking about baking that Nigella Lawson pie for a friend's birthday, was it, or something?
God, it was.
Yeah. Okay, so the point is, like, often the moments in which, like, we find ourselves baking is because somebody gained another year of life, and you're trying to commemorate that experience with a baked good of some sort, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like this situational, occasional need to bake. Well, a pavlova is like, it feeds a crowd. It's fun. It's beautiful. People,
it's beautiful.
You know, and try walking into a bakery right now and getting a pavlova.
Yeah,
good point.
You can't do it. It can't be done.
It's so true.
Nobody's selling that to you because it'll start to weep. It'll soften. This is something that you are in the driver's seat of. You control the inputs. You control the variables, and nobody is going to do that. You can maybe sometimes get it on a dessert like menu, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. In a restaurant,
Less so in America, though.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost always crisp rather than that crispy, chewy.
Yeah, it's almost always like a pretty hard meringue.
Yeah.
Is the texture ever kind of hard to achieve? Because it feels like specifically kind of chewy, but like also not. And I'm like, is that hard?
Will that frustrate me?
Yeah, listen, that's actually a really good question. And I'm not going to lie. That was really the first thing that came to my mind when you brought up pavlova, Chris. But I figured I was mean to you already. So I was really being nice and biting my tongue. Yes, I would say, listen, I consider myself an experienced baker. I worked in professional kitchens. I do think pavlova is something challenging, and it takes a few attempts to master. Not saying it's impossible, and I think—
But you're talking about achieving, like, the platonic ideal texture. I think, like, one can make a pretty impressive pavlova, even if the meringue doesn't fully meet your standards.
Yes, it's a great candidate for an unexpected, beautiful, impressive dessert that you could make. It's a little projecty, but still very achievable. It doesn't come without its challenges, but it's certainly worth taking on. Like, I would certainly recommend pavlova or let's say, like, laminating something.
Shilpa, what were you thinking?
Well, I wanted to do, like, an analysis and ask, you know, like, what is really, where is the friction here? I need to fully understand that I have two suggestions, but I need to fully understand what the friction is. Like, is it time? Are you attempting something complicated that then you run out of patience halfway? Or is it precision that trips you up? Like, are you an I measure with my heart sort of person? And then, you know.
I measure with my heart?
Yeah, you know what?
I get that. Like, yeah. I feel like because I spend most of my time in the kitchen cooking, I'm not being as precise as you have to be in baking. And I think that need for precision so that the chemical reaction can happen or something will rise or, you know.
Yeah.
So that's one part of it. I think I get very easily frustrated because I have like a narrative in my head that I don't know how to bake because I don't know how to bake.
Oh.
So there's just the frustration of it. Like if something isn't going right, I'm automatically like, I'm over it. I'm done, yeah. You know?
I totally get that. And two things here. First thing, like, you know, you thinking I'm not a baker. Forget about that. It doesn't matter. What Nobody is okay. a baker or a cook. You teach yourself to be one. It's okay. very rare that it's like learning a language, you know? And second thing about the whole precision and not, I think the great thing about baking is that there's a certain level of precision possible. And
mm-hmm.
I get it, depending on your personality, this could be either like the most annoying thing and feel very stifling. Or for some of us, it can be very thrilling, like this ability to understand how things work and then where the points of control mm-hmm. are and then knowing enough to control them so you get a degree of success. You can set timers. You can use a thermometer. You can weigh things. Basically, you have the ability to eliminate a lot of variables and sort of guarantee a level of success. And I urge you to think of baking in that way rather than
I love that.
I have to use like a teaspoon and tablespoon and measure things precisely.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a huge reframe for me. That's really helpful.
Oh, good.
Izzy, do you feel like that's how you move through baking?
When I'm being disciplined, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, that's interesting. Cool.
Creativity is possible and should be encouraged. With baking, do it the first couple of times the way it's intended. And then you know what to flex with, you know? Like, you can make, like, Chris's suggestion of BA's best chocolate chip cookies. Make it a couple times. And then where your creativity could come in is swapping some of the chocolate chips for something else, like nuts mm-hmm. or mini M&Ms. I think that's the fun thing about baking. It's precise, but it allows you to be creative within those constraints.
And do it for yourself, like at least that first time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like bake off a few, definitely. Maybe save some of the dough to bake off for friends, like if you feel like it, you know? But like have that first cookie, just the two of you, and just make that about like you two. You know what I mean? Like, I just think like there's a lot of things that we do in the kitchen for other people, and that's great. That's a beautiful thing. But like, honestly, aim for delicious and just let the rest just kind of fade away.
Oh, that's Love so it. True.
Well, you've stalled long enough, Shilpa.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do have two recipe suggestions.
Well, that's great. That works out.
And I chose these based on how simple they are, based on how few chances there are to mess up. The first one was Jesse Shevchuk, his chocolate chip cookie bars. They're almost cake-like, and there's a good, contrast of textures between the edges and the center. And more importantly, like, they're extremely easy to make because they don't even require a mixer. That's how easy they are. And I just felt like this presented very few challenges and would help you make something that is very familiar to you, but in a slightly different format.
That sounds amazing. And I actually love cookies. So
oh, okay.
That is perfect.
Okay.
And I love cake. So a cakey cookie
me
is
too.
Super fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Yay. Well, you cued me in perfectly because my next suggestion was cake. I love cake.
Oh,
love
me too. Cake is my favorite thing to bake, I think.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm very excited then.
Fun.
Because my suggestion was going to be a sort of a hybrid, so bear with me, but it was going to be my chocolate sheet cake. The one that I developed, I don't know. Like
with the brown butter frosting?
Yeah, with the brown butter frosting.
Oh, my God, yeah. Just you guys. Make that.
Yeah. That was
just
good.
Make that.
But here's
everything else.
So hard.
That's the one.
But here's where I want to switch things up, instead of the brown butter frosting, I'm recommending that Nina and Izzy try it with my fudge frosting from the gluten-free chocolate cake.
What?
Do you remember? Yes.
Okay.
You're off the chain.
I know, but this is going to be so good. It's going to be so good. Okay.
Oh, my God.
We're going to send you all the links.
But yeah, we're going to send you all the links.
Chocolate sheet cake.
Yes.
From the brown butter frosting recipe. But don't make that frosting. It's great. But there are some pain points in there. Like you have to get the milk powder, brown the butter. And I don't want you to trip on those things at this moment. Okay. We need you to succeed here. So then rather than making that frosting, I want you to go and make my double chocolate fudge frosting from this gluten-free chocolate cake I developed for a gluten-free baking story. And that frosting is incredibly easy. It has cocoa powder and bittersweet chocolate. So it's kind of a hybrid between American buttercream with like the powdered sugar and butter. But because it has the melted chocolate, it also is kind of like a ganache.
Has like a little more body. And it's not like quite such a mouthful of like butter.
Pure
and
unadulterated. Wow, that sounds phenomenal.
It is great frost. Honestly,
it's a great
both
frosting.
Of these recipes are my life's work.
Yeah.
So make them together.
Okay, well, we better do it well then.
the reason I chose this recipe in particular and this combination was A, you know, I realize that you like cake, so do I. And B, both of these are really simple recipes on their own. And I say this in the recipe head note as well, with the frosting especially, any place where you think you're failing, there's a fix. It doesn't matter. If the frosting looks broken, just like warm it up a little. If it's too stiff, warm it up. There's a solution for everything in the frosting. And the cake is just, I don't know, it's so easy. No one can mess it up.
Wow. Okay, I love you noting that in your recipe note because it just makes it feel so much more inviting and less intimidating and just, like it's okay to mess up in baking. There are ways to fix it. Like I'm always convinced that if I mess up, it's over. Mm-hmm. So that feels really, really good.
I also think the way that Shilpa's thinking is also like pretty instructive in terms of, you might like a certain like the cake base itself, but ultimately want to choose a different frosting. Like I almost never use the frosting recipe that comes with any given cake that I make. Like I just do my own back pocket mixture of a little bit of butter, maybe in my case, a little bit of cream cheese, a little bit of melted chocolate, a little bit of cocoa powder, a little bit of powdered sugar. You know, it's just because it's just what I like. So point being like there are certain frameworks that are just very amenable to adaptation, you know? And I think you've got options very often. So anywho, I can't wait to hear what you both end up deciding on, okay?
Me too.
Me too. We're so excited. I feel really good right now, you guys. So thank you so much.
That's awesome.
For encouraging this and for guiding us. It's really
special. You've undone the damage I did trying to get her to bake and having disasters.
Totally. So we're at a baseline now.
So we sent Izzy and Nina our suggestions and waited to hear how it went in the kitchen. We're going to take one more quick break. When we get back, we'll find out what they chose and whether we helped Izzy finally get Nina to love baking. Hey listeners, Chris Morocco here. If you find yourself in a dinner crisis, the Epicurious app comes to the rescue. Not only will you unlock over 50,000 recipes from Bon Appetit and Epicurious, but you'll also receive daily personalized recommendations based on your unique preferences and dietary needs. Head to the Apple App Store and download the Epicurious app to kickstart your 7-day free trial today. Don't miss out on this culinary adventure. Start your free trial and let the Epicurious app be your kitchen hero. Happy cooking. Welcome back to Dinner SOS. When we got the sisters back on the line, Nina dove right into the big reveal. What did she and Izzy choose to bake?
So we made the brown butter chocolate chip cookies and we made the chocolate cake with the ganache frosting.
Good for you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I'll just say off the bat that it was an incredible experience and maybe I do actually love baking and this led me to it. So we started with the brown butter cookies, which was great because I have made chocolate chip cookies before and it felt like a good entry point. And it was so incredible because the dough just tasted so good. I was like, how am I going to bake these? But we baked some of them, but not all of them. Mm. And then I froze the dough, which I think is like the coolest move ever. Because if I just want a freshly baked cookie, I can go make myself a freshly baked cookie, which is what you had said, Chris. Yep. And so that I think is like a really incredible part of baking. Like this idea that like you do some prep and if you can freeze it and then have it, it's like this really stunning, unexpected treat. So that's so fun. So that was a success. That recipe went really well.
Talk to me about the flavor of the cookies. Did they feel okay. materially different from other chocolate chip cookies that you've made and or consumed?
Okay, in terms of flavor, there was much more depth. I felt like the brown butter really adds like that nuttiness and just like overall like a more interesting flavor profile to a cookie, which was so fun. It was absolutely delicious and like moist and had a chew to it. And the chocolate chips were just like perfectly in there.
Also, it was like crinkly. Like, you know how cookies yeah. get that? Like, which yeah. was so fun because I feel like I've never achieved that.
Yeah. And that felt good. Like that you can just create this beautiful, you know, homemade cookie. And then I'm going to say that that cake was the best cake I've ever had. Not even exaggerating. It was so phenomenal and so simple. And I couldn't believe that I made it. Right,
Izzy? That one you made, I kind of took a back seat for that one because I was like, okay, you're going to bake this one without me.
Yeah.
And I didn't even really help.
Yeah. But Izzy did realize something significant, which, Izzy, you want to say?
Well, my whole takeaway from this experience was that I was the problem the entire time. And the way that I bake is really chaotic and isn't good for if you want to like ensure that the end product is good or get your friends involved.
But in what way, though?
Well, okay. So I never used a scale before. But even more than that, I do this thing where like I never measure the ingredients out before I start baking. And mm-hmm. I also kind of, I think the worst thing that I do that we didn't do at all this time, obviously, was like I make a lot of substitutions kind of like in the moment as I go if I don't have something, or often I'm running out of an ingredient. If it's like, oh, a cup of honey and I only have half a cup, then I'll just like substitute like sugar or like date syrup. It's just like very chaotic the way that I bake.
It's so chaotic.
I'm having anxiety Wait. Listening to you say that, I'll be honest.
I know. I totally get that because, well, it usually it works out, but sometimes it doesn't. But now yeah. that I did it this time around, I was like, well, this just always works out and better.
And so what Izzy introduced to me was, okay, you can just weigh everything out and just tear the scale every time. And then you don't have to have like 20 different bowls.
Yes.
And so well, that I was that
say that again. And one more time, louder for everyone.
yeah. Tear the bowl on the scale. It was like amazing. Just,
honestly, you don't use any measuring cups. All you use is one bowl.
It changed yep. my whole approach. I was like, oh, this is how you're supposed to bake. And then having all of it weighed out was so reassuring for me as someone who is nervous about baking mm-hmm. and like does want the product to be good at the end of the day. Like that was a revelation for me. And then when the cake came out like perfectly moist and smelled so good, I was like, whoa, did I really just bake a cake? The frosting was amazing and we threw it on top. And then like we did share it with friends at a dinner party and everyone loved it. And I was like, wow. Great. So I got the experience as the cookie mm-hmm. as like a solo indulgence, not for anyone but me. And then the cake was this like beautiful thing that I could share with folks. And like people really responded beautifully to it. And Izzy and I learned so much through both of them, really.
Wow.
I'm really pretty fired up.
Yeah, this is great. This is like best case scenario. Chris, in a rare turn of events, we both win.
That is true. Yeah.
We're both winners. No, I'm just really heartened to hear it. But also, like, this is a great way. Usually when I have a lot of cookbooks at home, and then over the years, the best way to parse out baking books for me has been to check the ingredient list and see if it lists them in weight. And if it does, really? I keep the book. And if it doesn't, I don't buy the book.
Yeah. Wow.
So I've seen her shelves, you know, on Zoom.
Yeah.
It's a tight edit. Not everybody makes it. It's not room on the lifeboat for everybody, okay?
And that's funny because I used to look at the weight, like grams, and be like, why is that relevant to me? Like, yeah. I'll just measure it. And now I'm like, oh, wait, never again.
Well, suddenly like, you're not using every measuring cup you own, every measuring spoon you own, every bowl you own. So I'm really glad you discovered that lesson, because I think that alone may transform your relationship with baking forever. Shilpa, final thoughts?
Final thoughts is I'm just really happy that the simplest changes to your baking routine gave you the confidence that you were looking for. And I'm just so glad that you found that in us.
Oh, same.
Yeah, I think you were a baker all along. You just needed the right recipe.
You just needed a scale.
And a scale.
Literally.
I think I needed a lot more help than I thought, too.
Well, and Izzy, oh my gosh, I mean, you're a separate episode. We're going to have you call back in on a separate line.
Okay, I'll call you guys back soon.
It's all good. No, listen, like, you know, clearly you were operating on a certain kind of, like, level of, like, instinct and confidence. And
yes, she
was. That too.
And you enjoyed the process, so who are we to say that, like, you need to bring
totally.
More like rigor and structure to it.
That is so true. That is so
but
such
objectively,
a good
reminder. I think there's going to be less flops now. I
okay.
Think.
Love that for you both. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.
We appreciate
both.
It.
If you have a dinner emergency on your hands, write to us at dinnersos@bonappetit.com or leave us a voice message at 212-286-SOS1. That's 212-286-7071. We'd love to feature your question on the show. You can find the recipes mentioned today on the Epicurious app brought to you by Condé Nast. Just search Epicurious in the App Store and download today. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a rating and review on your podcast app of choice and hit that follow button so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening to Dinner SOS. I'm your host, Chris Morocco. My co-host this week is Shilpa Oskokovich. Our producer is Michelle O'Brien. Peyton Hayes is our associate producer. Cameron Foose is our assistant producer. Jake Loomis is our studio engineer. Amar Lal mixed this episode. Chris Bannon is Condé Nast's head of global audio. Next week, Kendra Vaculin joined me in the studio to talk about how a recipe gets developed here at Bon Appetit, and what it was like to have some big recipe development fails captured on camera.
I take risks and I try different things all the time. It has never gone this badly. In any recipe I've ever done, it has never gone this badly.
It's like an
You're literally eating egg salad in an enclosed room. Give
okay,
me a
well,
break.
The door was open when I ate the sandwich, and I told you I was starving.
And that was a low blow. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. I knew she would break. Oh, my God.
From the creators of Who Smarted, Starglow Media, comes a brand new podcast called Mysteries About True Histories.
Does that sound serious enough? Max, we only have 30 seconds for this promo. Just tell them how your mysterious aunt recruited us into a secret order of problem solvers who travel time and have epic adventures.
I don't have to. You just did.
Catch new episodes of Mysteries About True Histories every Thursday on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.